Good morning. Good to be with you today. Glad you're here. Glad you could come and join us in worship, and I hope you will be blessed because of your time here with us. If you're visiting, we're really glad you're here and hope you will hang around and let us get to know you. For all of us, visitors and members alike, we will be honoring our seniors this morning, our high school and college seniors who have just graduated or are just about to graduate. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look this morning at the story of Abram, who we will know better shortly as Abraham. And if I can make it through and not slip up and call him Abraham this morning, it will be a testament to something. He is Abram for now, will become Abraham later. We're going to look at his call and the things that come out of that, and I think a call that maybe we can see in our own lives. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." He begins with Abram by saying, go. And I think that's a call that a lot of us will get at different points in life to go. Now, the interesting thing for most of us, I think, is when we have this call, this desire to go, we have a destination in mind. I've been looking over the last couple weeks. I looked at the Kornmans on Facebook, and they were on a cruise, and I thought they went, and there was a plan and a destination. I looked at the Foremans, and they were in Branson, and I thought, this is the land from which I came, and it was interesting to see all the things that they were doing. And I look around at people's journeys and at people who go and do things, and I think as you are called to go, you're called to go somewhere. Now, the interesting thing for me with this story of Abram is he is just told to go. And he's told that at some point, God is going to tell him what the destination is, but for now, it's just go. And so imagine, if you will, for a minute, if you were to go home today and go on through your day and go off to work in the morning or whatever you do on a Monday, and you get home, and for those of you who are married, you look at your spouse when you get home and you say, "I think it's time for us to move." And your spouse looks at you like you're slightly crazy and says, "Well, Springfield, Eugene, Thurston, what do you have in mind? Something in Veneta, something? There's bears out in Veneta I keep seeing on Facebook now. What do you have in mind? Where are we going to go?" And then you look at your spouse and you say, "I have no idea." Imagine how the rest of this conversation goes. You know, you probably are getting looked at a little odd. Someone's going to the medicine cabinet to check your medications and all of that. And they're wondering, what is it you have in mind? And so Abram, as he gets this call to go, I think a lot of times we think of it just in terms of Abram, but Abram has a family that he's now going to have to go to with this call he has received from God and say to them, "We have been called to go." And when they say where, all he can say is, "God's going to lead us there." And so there is this convincing, this conversation that must go on as Abram is going to go. And I would imagine, at least for me, the way I like to plan things out, a lot of those questions are already going through my mind, maybe even to the point that I might say to God, "Could you drop me something else here? Could you give me a hint, a direction, something, so when I go explain to Sarai here in a little while, I will have something for her?" But instead, he just takes this instruction to go. And then God gives him the why, not the where, but the why. "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great." Now, this sounds good. You know, I may not be excited about the going and the not knowing where. When we first got married, we talked about places we would like to live, and we came up, I think, with anything other than Louisiana. And if you're from Louisiana, I apologize in advance, but every experience I've had in Louisiana has been a bad one. The roads weren't good, it was hot, it was humid, and I was from other hot, humid places. But every time I would go there, I'd think, I can't get out of this place fast enough. Now, I know people from there that love it and think it's the best thing in the world, and maybe if I lived there, I would start to change my mind, but something about it, I just couldn't do it. My wife had a couple places in mind where she didn't necessarily want to go, but if you were to tell me that if you will go there, what's going to happen is there's going to be fame and fortune and all these great blessings of life, you might just start to get at me a little bit. And I might think, well, maybe Louisiana's not so bad. Maybe wherever this place is that God has in mind for me, now there's a why to it. It's not just that I'm to go there, but it is that I am to go there and something good is going to happen for me as a result of that. But it's interesting the way God turns this after this idea of being blessed. He says, so that you will be a blessing. Now, all these good things are going to happen to you, not just for you, but so that you can be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Go, I will bless you, but not just that, be a blessing to others. And I think this is the first place we really want to emphasize, especially with those who have just graduated, this is your opportunity now to be a blessing to other people. Now, for the rest of us who may look back at graduation day, and it's a long time ago, we might think, well, things have not gone exactly the way I thought they might go between there and here. We also have that same opportunity as we are blessed by God to be a blessing to other people. Because as much as you may not think so, the things in your life, the things that you do, affect others. And so are you affecting them in a positive way or in a negative way, or are you just trying to be kind of neutral? And for Abram, these blessings that are going to come his way, he's going to be able to turn around and bless others as a result. So Abram went, and the Lord had told, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So Abram went. Okay, God says to him, go. Not necessarily where, but here's the why, and here's what will happen as a result. And his response is not, should you get someone else? His response is not exactly how many miles are we talking about? How long is this trip going to take? His response is not, all the blessings for me sound fine, but I don't want to deal with blessing the other people because that's too much trouble. His response is not all these different responses we might have. His response is, God said go, and so he went. And how much of our lives could be simplified by doing just that? God says go, and so we go. God says love, and so we love. God says forgive, and so we forgive. God says serve, and so we serve. God says whatever God might tell us to do, and we do that thing. And so Abram went. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through to the land, to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. In both of these places we see that he builds an altar. Because he is remembering first things first. He understands that the reason he is going and the reason he is being blessed along the way, and the reason this land is going to come to his offspring down the road, is because God is present in his life. God is present in this place. And so he builds an altar to remember that. For each of us, as we go along in life, we should be building these altars to remember. And I know for us, it's not a physical altar in that sense, but there should be ways that we go about making sure we remember God. We remember what he is doing in our lives, and we remember the victories that we have already won. For those of our graduates that we're honoring this morning, you get the piece of paper. I saw Erin's last night at her graduation party. I was impressed that they actually gave it to her. I was telling the foremans at my high school, they gave me the thing, and I opened up, and it was empty. And I thought, hang on a second. And I found out that night that you don't get the diploma until you've turned in your cap and gown. They want something to hold over you. And so I had to wait until the next day when I went to the school with my cap and gown and turned it in, and then they gave me my piece of paper, and finally I'm official. Now, I have today absolutely no idea where that piece of paper is. I know it's in a box. I'm pretty sure it's in the little storage area behind where I live, but I couldn't tell you exactly what box it's in. I know it's still in that exact blue folder with the name of the school in the front of it that I got it in, but there it is. Now, it is a remembrance of what I did. Now, I will tell you that there was a time in life where that had a special place on the shelf. And in that, it's still in that blue folder, I never framed it, but still in that blue folder that opened up, it was up on the shelf, and people could come and see and be in awe that I had actually graduated, and there it was. And then at some point along the way, I built a new altar of the college diploma, which is framed on my wall because that one costs a lot of money. And we, as we go, we have these remembrances that we keep. I think in our spiritual walk, we should have some of those same things. This week, on my Facebook little memories feature, came up me and Dylan out in the river. I believe a year or two ago now, I can't remember which. 1 year ago? Okay. 2 years ago? Our baptistry was leaking at the time. And so we took Dylan out to the river on a day where the weather was not all that different than it was today. And I liked to froze, and I'm sure he did too. And he was baptized, and I thought, I love when that memory comes up on Facebook because I'm reminded of just an incredible day of significance. We build these altars along the way to remember the victories we have and the victories that God has. And for Abram, he does the same so that people will not forget. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now, this is the area that he's heading towards. And it's interesting to me that he builds the altars, but he does not stop there. And I think that's something we need to remember, too. God brings us these victories along the way. God brings us these significant moments, but we do not stop there. The journey continues on. The moment of change in life that everyone had with graduation tomorrow, that is not the end-all of accomplishments in life. It's a big deal right now, and it should be. But life continues on, and you move to the next thing that God has in store for you. For each of us, we should celebrate the victories long enough. We should celebrate them and take joy in them, but we can't stop there. We have to continue going on. Now, we're going to summarize a little bit because it's hard to, we're not going to read all of this because I'd lose you along the way. The second half of chapter 12, we find Abram in Egypt. And Abram is there, and he goes into this land that he does not know, and he fears. And the reason he fears is because his wife is beautiful. Okay, guys, those of us with beautiful wives, we understand this. There's this fear there because he's afraid the people in charge will look at his wife as beautiful and say, well, if we get rid of the husband, we've got the beautiful wife. And so he says to his wife, tell them you're my sister, so they'll appreciate the beautiful woman and not feel threatened by me at the same time, and we can both live and everybody will be happy. And he takes this moment to take hold of everything on his own and take charge of things. Another thing I'll remind you, by the way, ladies, Sarai is roughly 65 at this point in time. So she is a beautiful 65-year-old woman that he's fearing what the king might think. And so he takes control, says it's his sister. It leads to a lot of bad things for Pharaoh. And what we find here is Abram's lack of trust. Now, it's interesting to me that in verse 1 and 2 and 3, as he's having this call to go, and he goes, you would look at Abram and think, I would love to have the faith and trust in God this guy has. For God to come to me and say, go, and for me not to ask why or where or anything else, but just to go, I'd love to have that kind of faith. And it's not even 10 verses later that you see that faith diminish a little bit as he tries to grab hold of what looks like an uncontrollable situation. Now, all of us should be able to rationalize, the God that has led me this far can lead me through this situation. And yet so many times we don't. And we need this reminder, a man who has just built an altar to God a couple verses back is now beginning to lose trust a little bit. We have to remember in our journey to trust God. Now, in chapter 13, we find that things get difficult. Abram brought family along, and bringing family along is a great thing sometimes and an incredibly frustrating thing sometimes. And as Abram and Lot and these families come along, their folks don't get along. They have all these herds and flocks, and they're trying to find the best place for them, and there are disagreements that come along the way, and they realize at some point, we're going to have to split up to make this work. We're going to have to go this route, you're going to have to go this route, we're going to have to find our own land, everybody's going to be okay. We're still fine with each other, but we just know there's too much of a clash here together. And they realize troubles are going to come. Now, for those of us who just graduated or those who have those graduates in your family, there is a plan in place today. You will see a lot of those on the front of your bulletin this morning if you haven't looked at them, what folks' plans are for the future. It would be interesting if we save this bulletin and pull it out 5 years from now. Or 10 years from now, and ask Chloe and Aaron and Michael and everybody else, is the plan today what you thought it would be back there on June 11th, 2017? And some of you will say, it's exactly what I thought it would be. I have 2.5 kids and a dog, and everything is where I, you know, it's just what I thought it would be. And others of you will say, that plan seems like so long ago. Life has taken so many turns since then, I'm not even sure what to do. And what we find with Abram is he starts by grabbing control and not trusting, and then things begin to kind of spiral out of control a little bit, and troubles are going to come our way. And when your plan goes off course, it is not a reason to panic. It is not a reason to assume God is no longer with you. It is a reason to assume that life happens sometimes. And there are points in life where it does not always go according to plan. So these troubles come along for Abram. And these troubles for Abram are multiplied for Lot in chapter 14, because where Lot lives, several kings decide they're going to come in and take over. And Lot is taken away. And Abram has yet another decision to make. Excuse me. And Abram's decision is, do I continue on with life or do I remember my family? Do I remember where I came from? And for those of you graduates and for those of you, families, this is going to be a difficult time for some because life is about to change in a big way. Now, some are still going to be around home. Some are still going to be nearby. Some are going to be further away doing different things. And everything begins to change a little bit. And I will call on all of us to continue to remember. Now, I saw this yesterday online, and it made me smile. This is Van. Great view of Van's bald head right there. This is Van and Jesse at graduation, I think yesterday, maybe Friday. I saw this picture and it made me smile, and the picture's kind of blurry, and somebody had commented on this blurry picture, and Van said, it's blurry because I had tears in my eyes, which I thought was a great response. What a great moment. And for those of us who are nowhere near graduation, this is way in your rearview mirror, I think a lot of you can remember this moment. I think back to mine. Mine was exciting. We're supposed to be outside on the football field, and it rained. Totally unfamiliar for us here in Eugene. It rained, and ours was the first graduation in the history of our school, I believe, that had to be indoors in the gym. The gym echoed. There were lots of people in there. It was loud and raining, and so you had the rain on the metal roof. It was very hard to hear in the gym. Midway through the graduation, someone collapsed in the back of the room, there was the classic, is there a doctor in the house? And somebody went back to, and my aunt, the neurologist, and my uncle, the neurosurgeon, both happened to be there and were shooed away by a psychologist who said he was a doctor, and we laughed about that for years and years. And I think back, and there was also a dentist who was trying to take over, but anyway, I won't get into dentists. I think back to that day, my aunt, the neurologist, my uncle, the neurosurgeon, neither of whom I can pick up and call anymore because both have passed on. Both passed on way earlier than expected, both around the age of 50. I look back at that day, and I think of the memories that came with it and all of the joy that came with it, and I remember family. Now, family also frustrates me to death sometimes. But I'd give anything to be able to pick up the phone and call either one of them again. Tell them what Eugene is like. Tell them what my kids are like today. Tell them about the experiences of life that have brought me to this point. I'd love to tell my uncle, who had a 1971 Corvette that I learned how to drive a standard in. Coolest experience ever, by the way. I'd love to tell him that about once every couple months, I will look on eBay hoping to see it, and then hoping that if I do see it, I can talk my wife into it. Those experiences with family, you cannot replace with anything. And Abram looks at Lot, and even though the last experience we see with the two of them is an amicable separation, but at the same time, the frustrations that led to that, he sees family who is in need, and he goes there. And even as you graduate, or even as you have graduates in your family, family is still there. And as far away as you may go, family is still there. And even for our church family, as far away as you may go, your church family is still there and can't wait until I stop talking so they can go honor you back there. Family is important. And God says in the midst of this, not just remember me in building these altars, but also remember family and be ready to take care of that family. Now, as we close, I want you to think about the go of Abraham. Because if you're anything like me, I'm okay with going, but I want to come back. I'm okay with going, but I want to know all the details. I'm okay with going. I want to know the why, the where, the when, the how much is it going to cost, all of those things. My wife, and we've shared about this quite a bit in here, spent a month in Europe doing a study abroad thing for NCU. And I texted her on Wednesday when she was home for 3 or 4 days at that point, and I said, don't leave anywhere and go anywhere far away for a long time. And 2 hours later, she got a text or a call from her mom that her uncle had passed away, and I had to put her on a plane on Saturday to go to a funeral. And I thought, I'm kind of tired of the going at this point. We are also given a call to go. Now, the beauty of our call to go is it's the call the apostles receive at the end of the book of Matthew. Go and make disciples. And the beauty of go and make disciples is you can go to Europe and make disciples. You can go to Africa to make disciples. You can go to South America to make disciples. Or you can go to 11th Avenue to make disciples. You can go to your workplace tomorrow and make disciples. You can go within your family to make disciples. But the universal piece of that call for all of us is you have to go. You have to go and make disciples. And if you don't, you are not fulfilling what God has called for us to do. And if you feel like going means come and put up with me for a half hour each week, that's not going. Glad you do it, but that's not going. Going is our taking this mission on our own and doing something about it. And this morning, for our grads, you're about to go. And some of you are about to go down the street, and some of you are about to go right back to the bedroom in your house and do whatever you were doing before. Some of you are about to go to a new place, to a new school. Some of you may be going to a new job. But this opportunity to go is still an opportunity to go and to be who God called you to be. And for too many of us today, we're probably not doing that. Whether we're new graduates or whether graduation is 26 years ago, like it is for me, or whether it's 56 years ago, like it might be for some of you, we are still called to go, to make disciples, and as Abraham learns at the beginning of this call, to be a blessing. Be a blessing to the people in your lives. Be a blessing to the people you encounter. This morning, if you're not doing that, that might not involve a coming up here and confessing anything, but it might involve a reset in your mind. Because you can be a blessing to other people. Abram was being a blessing to strangers sometimes. Other times he didn't trust and wasn't quite as much of a blessing. For us, if we trust that God can do what he says he will do, we can be a blessing to those around us. This morning, if you need to become a disciple, if you need to be baptized, as we see in the last part of that verse in Matthew 28, you want to take him on, walk a new life in him, have the Spirit live within you, live for him, and go and be a blessing daily. We can baptize you today, and it's a heated baptistry today, not a cold river. This morning, if you just need to reset your walk with him, if it's something we can help with in a public way, if there's something we can pray about in your life, please come while we stand and sing.